A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling the topics no one likes talking about, and discussing biblical truths, dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Hello there, ladies. Welcome back to another episode here at Her Theology. I'm Cass. Okay. No, I'm not.
Great. I'm not cursed.
So, therefore, I am cursed.
And I'm Cass.
Welcome along. I'm glad that we know our own names.
You did that so smoothly and confidently. I'm Cass. Wait, no, I'm not.
That was really funny.
That's great.
So today we are still going on ahead in our series of seven deadly sins. Mm-hmm. We've covered a few of them so far, and today Cass is going to talk to us about anger.
Yeah, or wrath.
Yes, or wrath.
Wrath.
Depending yeah. on.
This is the hotly debated thing, isn't it? Is it wrath? Is it wrath? I don't know.
Just say it and say it I've confidently.
Heard it, yeah. It's like when you start reading out names from.
The Bible.
You just do it confidently. You're just going to go. Yeah. Going to go with it. You're going to make it up.
Yeah. And you just like make sure however you say the name, if it's repeated throughout the passage, you say it the same way every time.
I've been caught it a few times like that. Abimelech. Abimelech.
Okay. So before we get into anger, what is one thing new you've learnt?
So fun fact. I didn't know this. It's really not that interesting, to be honest. Sorry, everyone.
Not that fun.
Nah.
Just a fact.
I just said to Will one day, I was like, I really want to be like more on top of the history and context of the Bible. So can we start watching documentaries on ancient
stuff,
history?
Right.
And he loves that. And I end up walking away 15 minutes.
You're like, what was I thinking?
Documentary, like, this is the worst idea ever. I was putting away clothes, overheard. And they're like, the reason we're watching a thing on Greece. And the reason why the Olympics is every 4 years is because originally the original Olympics would tour around and each year would change into four different cities.
In Greece.
Yeah, in ancient Greece, whatever.
Yeah. And then that just spread out into the world.
And so that's now why they do it every 4 years. Because it would visit like one of those cities every 4 years. So,
yeah.
It's not very exciting, is it? Anyway, cool fact.
Great.
I remember at the time going, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm going to save that for Her Theology. And then I remember going, probably it's not that exciting. But anyway.
Well, mine's not that exciting. What's but yours? Know, Tic Tacs are named after the noise that they make.
Ah, okay.
So
their marketing's not wrong.
Tick and tack a box.
Tick, 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 tick.
Tick, tack. Their marketing is not wrong. That is why they're named that way, because that's what they sound like.
There you go.
Fun little fact.
Cool. Like it.
All right, take us away.
Okay, so anger. I do wonder, I was looking at the seven deadly sins, I'm like, because anger in and of itself or wrath, if you want to, but really it's anger because they're kind of, particularly biblically, they're kind of synonymous. They work together. They interchange all throughout scripture, but it's not a sin in and of itself. Whereas like envy is, lust is, greed is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's quite interesting that anger's on there. And so.
Yeah, because there's that verse, do not sin in your anger.
That's right. Don't let the sun go down on you. Like it's not, yeah. That's
interesting.
Right. Yeah, and so we can see that anger can sometimes be good because it can motivate us to seek justice, really, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was just pondering that as I was studying
That's
it.
An interesting thought.
Yeah, anger in and of itself, we say it's part of the seven deadly sins, but it's not really – it's kind of incorrect, isn't it? And I guess that makes more sense if you're going to talk about it in the sense of wrath, which is more the outworking of anger where you are –
where your anger actually or goes into something.
Yes.
Turns into actual something other than anger. Although,
again, God.
Well, if anger turns into hate, I'm just thinking
bitterness.
Of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. Then, like, you murdered your brother. Is,
yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't use the word anger there,
Matthew
I guess. 5.
But,
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, and I guess as well, looking into anger – there was a lot for me to read at first. When I looked it up, I was like, there's not that much. And then I was like, well, there's a lot, because you can kind of divide it to the two. There's anger, which is godly, righteous anger, which comes from God.
Mm.
And then there's human anger, which is always going to be laced with sin to varying degrees, sure. But I do not believe any of us can have righteous anger that's pure. That's just not possible in this fallen world. Surely there can be forms of righteous anger, yes, but not that we see it like God not has like it, Jesus. You know. There's no way.
Mm.
That kind of goes without saying. I don't even know why I need to say that, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm.
So, yeah, anyway, so I just wanted to look into anger, and I was like, we really live in a world where, like, I feel like this could just be me, but I feel like anger is getting more and more justified in a sense. Like, we live in a very polarizing time right now politically. I'd say more so in places like America and whatever else, whatnot, but it definitely is starting to be more apparent here in Australia as well. And as that happens, we see more and more justification for anger, or maybe indignation, or it could be sarcasm, it could be outbursts of anger or verbally attacking people. We see that more and more justified depending on what side you sit on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying one side's more the other. I think both sides are just as bad as each other. And so I was thinking about it. I'm like, I really can see when I started looking up self-help things like, well, what do you do with anger? What does the world say to do with anger? Like, taking the Bible out of it, what does it say? And it gives you all these coping mechanisms, and a lot of research will prove that anger is not good for you. But then you'll also read a lot of articles that say you just need to get it out. It's okay to be angry. Just have your say. Doesn't matter about what the other person ends up feeling like, you know. You do you, boo, and you feel good about you. And so it just, there's a lot of confusion out there, I think, is my point as well around anger. When I started looking into it just from a pure self-help, not Christian or biblical, or unfortunately it was a lot of Christian, really bad articles that were Christian as well on it. But there's just a lot of this justification that's going on. And you can see how damaging anger is when you don't have biblical guidelines to help you through it, like when you're doing it in your own strength and without God's law, without God's purpose and plans behind it, you can just see how disastrous it is. Yeah. So
it easily leads you to sin.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to think about, like, well, what are the different faces of anger? So before we go into, like, why is anger bad, and from a biblical standpoint, it's like, I think a lot of us think of anger as, like, you know, this outburst that happens, or aggression or violence or whatever. But, I mean, we don't give a lot of credit to passive aggressiveness, which is anger. It's still anger. It's just masked as something else. So sitting there feuding on things and growing bitter and cold, and then being this nasty person that's passive aggressive, it's still anger. Don't try and hide that sin. Don't try and change it with something else, you know. And then I was like, sarcasm, a lot of sarcasm comes out of anger. Grief can make us really angry. I think a lot of the times when we're grieving, there's, you know, they say there's 12 stages of grief. Everyone goes through it differently. But I also thought about it. I'm like, I think there also is an element where grieving is part of life, and we can handle it well, and we can deal with it, and we can let it happen, and like I said, deal with it in a healthy manner, or we can leave it unresolved and try and bottle it up and not deal with it. And then it turns into anger, and we take it out on those people that we shouldn't. So that's that unresolved kind of sadness that can sit in our hearts and our lives. Unforgiveness almost always results in anger, right? And then, like I said, there's, like, the obvious, which I talked about, like something like all those things, if you leave them unchecked, can result in outbursts of actual physical
It's like anger. The anger is the starting point, and then that leads to, like, unforgiveness,
bitterness, rage.
Yes. All these things that you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like the root.
Yeah. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, oh, no, that can lead to anger, and leaving that unchecked, anger can lead to this. Like, it just seemed to be really interconnected.
It's a stepladder.
Like, slandering and gossiping. A lot of that's built on the foundation of anger, because you're angry with someone.
Yeah.
An injustice has been done against you. And ultimately it comes down to pride, right? Mm-hmm. We're angry because someone has done something wrong to us. Whether they've actually done something wrong or not, it's because we are thinking that we are more important than that person or more important than the issue that's at hand. And often, quite often, it's because of we've lost power in some sense. So, and I'm not saying it's nice to be humiliated or attacked or anything like that.
No.
But biblically, we are told to just, God is the one that avenges us. God is the one that looks after us. God knows our hearts and our minds. And so in the end, ultimately, the reason why there's so many messages on anger is because we just need to be trusting God with it and actually applying how he says to walk in forgiveness and in grace and in mercy and peace. When we're walking in that, then we should be seeing anger dissipate a lot in our lives. Anyway, I digress. Well, I don't really, because I'm still on the topic of anger. But I love this saying, and I don't know where it was from, and I've heard it years ago, and I was trying to find it, but I couldn't. Satan recognizes anger as a fertile ground for sin. It always is, and so that's what we're talking about. Like, it's all kind of like connected. Have you heard that before?
I haven't heard it, but immediately when you said that, it just makes me think of Satan is prowling around like a lion ready to devour.
Yeah,
because it's just like it's a wherever there's a fertile ground, sin will take root.
It's like having a really bad knitted cardigan and it just keeps on pulling at unraveling. That one thing. And you're like, ah. That causes anger too. But it is. It unravels everything, doesn't it? It just hits every part of life.
Yep.
And so I touched on it before, but I really want to talk about righteous anger because I feel like as Christians, sometimes we can use that as a bit of an excuse for our anger. And like I said, anger can fuel good things like seeking justice, like to help those that are in need and have seen horrible things happen to them. But I just want to really push down on the fact that Jesus is the only one that could have anger that's righteous, that is pure. And Mark 3:5 says, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was restored. So I want to talk about righteous anger. Like, can we have righteous anger? And I think no. And the reason why is because Jesus' anger is always rooted in love. It's always a love for that person and always wanting better for them. And also knowing it's also rooted in a love for the Father's glory and also for his commands to be held. And Jesus is always working in his character and in his goodness. So when he has a righteous anger, it's actually motivated by a good thing, you know, whereas for us, anger is not always motivated by a good thing, even with righteous anger. So, yeah, I just was thinking as well, like when Jesus was going into the temple and getting in there with the whips and everything, a lot of us sometimes, I've heard some Christians use that also as an excuse for righteous anger. But he went in there because he saw that his people had lost sight of what was good. He was worried about their hearts. And he was also angry because that was meant to be the temple. So yeah, that's right. But he is worried about people's hearts. And I don't think we are always worried about people's hearts.
Yes, we're worried about justice. Which is fine.
In and of itself is totally fine, yes.
Because we go, well, every person is made in the image of God. But you're right. It's rarely thinking through heart issues. It's more, oh, that shouldn't be happening to that person, which is totally fine. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And like a great example is I used to work with women that were trafficked in Australia and men. And for example, I could get really angry at the injustice and the things that happened to some of those women. Some of my clients were beautiful. Now, I could say that was a righteous anger. But let me tell you, if I was to meet that perpetrator face to face, I was not hoping that they would be saved and forgiven on the spot.
Yeah.
That's just it. Naturally, I was like, no, they deserve punishment. And I had zero grace for them. I'm not saying they weren't deserving of a just punishment, but also I was not thinking of their eternal souls at that time.
Yeah.
Just as an example.
Yeah.
And so I got this quote from an article, which I'll link into the episode notes, but it says, the Bible makes clear that we are broken people living in a fallen world. As a result, our emotional reactions will not be perfect, at least not this side of Christ's return. There will be times when we resemble Potiphar in the book of Genesis. When Potiphar received news that Joseph tried to seduce his wife, he became angry and had Joseph imprisoned, a seemingly reasonable response. However, we as readers know that his anger caused an innocent person to suffer. The situation was more complex than he ever realized. The accusations against his servant were false. Potiphar did not always get his emotions right, and we will not either.
Mm.
So I just thought it was a really good biblical example of, yep, at the surface level, it may have seemed right, but actually God knows the hearts. Yeah, God totally. Knows what's really going on behind the scenes. Mm,
that's a good example.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to touch on Proverbs 29:11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise brings calm in the end. And Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be quickly revoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. You know, anger fuels pride and arrogance and impatience, and it makes us act just like fools.
Mm.
Really. Mm. I think of like James, the every man. Is that a sneeze?
Or? I don't know what that was.
Sorry, my little man's in the back making weird sounds. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I thought this was a really interesting Thomas Manton's thoughts on this passage about anger in the Bible was really interesting, because he's saying, like, read it in context, because it's also talking about teachers. James is always, you know, he's directing a lot of his message to teachers and teaching well. Mm. And so he says this, you must understand this in the same way as the other clauses. So it implies that the word must not be received or delivered with an angry heart. This concerns both listeners and teachers. For the teachers, they must be slow to anger in delivering the word. Do not let the word stem from private anger. Spiritual weapons must not be used in your own cause. The word is not committed to you for advancing your own interests, but Christ's. Do not give yourselves over to your own passions and anger. People easily distinguish between this feigned thunder and divine threatenings. And for the people, this teaches them to sit patiently under the word. Do not rise up in arms against a just reproof. This is natural to us, but be slow to do it. Do not yield to your nature. Anger only reveals your own guilt. The children of God are meekest when the word hits their hearts directly. Bless God for meeting you within the word. And so I thought, I just really love that. Like, we do rise up often with a reproof in anger, because it's, again, what I was saying earlier, it's our pride's been damaged, it's hurt. But actually, when we can let the anger be there, and like Proverbs says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise brings calm in the end. Actually calming and thinking it through, we won't be acting foolishly in our anger, and it won't be fueling pride and arrogance, like I said. And I thought this was really interesting. So in ancient history, when Theodosius, now I said act confidently when you say names, Theodosius the Great had rashly massacred the citizens of Thessalonica. Oh my gosh, I cannot speak right now. Ambrosi, hacking
Let's these names. Yeah, go with it.
Advised him to decree that all people sentenced to death should have their execution deferred until the 30th day, so that there might be time for showing mercy if it was necessary. It is a description of God that he is slow to become angry. Certainly a hasty spirit is most unlike God. Solomon says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. So I just thought that was really interesting that they could have executed everyone, but this one guy said, no, let's give it 30 days.
Mm.
How much wisdom is in that to say, let's just give it 30 days. Let's slow it down. And there's so much wisdom in that. Mm. So I thought that was really interesting. And I think if we want to relate it to, well, how does that relate to today? Hello, keyboard warriors. You know, how many times
flaming it's called, isn't it? Flaming. When you write a comment on, is this what you mean? When you write a comment on your computer to someone, or like on Facebook or whatever,
text or whatever,
that you wouldn't say to their face.
Yeah, I've it's not called heard flaming. That term. Yeah. Oh. Can I use that fun fact for my
No, you can't.
But yeah, it's so true. Like, it relates to today, right? They waited 30 days to do to act this part of justice, but how much do we not have even a few seconds? Totally. We can't even give it 10 seconds half the bloody time. Like,
it's just a reaction.
It's a reaction and it's an angry reaction. Mm. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not – that's up to you, but it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. You should sit on it is the whole point.
Mm.
Even if it is rightly so, I think sit on it.
Yep.
Because if it's rightly so, it'll still be rightly so in 30 seconds and 30 days.
Yeah.
You know? My second point about anger, why it's so dangerous. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, what we're just talking about.
Mm.
For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And I think for me, another big reason why anger is so bad is because it's fueled by fear and it actually results in us distrusting the Lord. Often it's a fear because we're not in control, or maybe it's a fear because we've been misunderstood or misrepresented. Mm. Maybe it's a fear of the unknown. Whatever it may be, might be a fear of the future. I don't know. Are we trusting the Lord? And so I think in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil.
Mm.
So I found that really interesting dwelling on that verse because I went, okay.
There's so much wrapped up in that.
There's a lot in it, right? But it's actually talking a lot about trust. Like, are we trusting God that when something's gone on during the day and it has resulted in anger, do we trust God to be able to submit it to him and go to sleep knowing that he's got it and that he's going to work through it?
Like after we've done everything we can to
– yeah. So it's like, so be angry and do not sin, sure. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So don't go to bed dwelling on it and reenacting it in your mind.
Yeah. Like if you've got something to say to someone, say it.
Sure.
Do what you can.
Reconcile.
And then let it go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
which we never do. Well, I'm very rarely do that.
No. And we've had other episodes where we talk about reconciliation and conflict, healthy conflict and stuff. So if you're curious where our views are on that, go listen to those episodes. But I just thought a lot of it comes down to like, do we trust God with the injustice or that are going on in the world or going around us? Do we trust God with the things that have happened that were done wrong by us, maybe that we did to someone else
that we could feel foolish about? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, when I was thinking of this verse and anger, and I'm not going into the whole fact of like being angry and not sinning, like that's a whole other conversation.
Mm.
Again, like I said, I don't think we can really nail that, but like, do we actually trust God to let the sun go down on our anger? Or do we want to hold on to the anger and dwell on it and dwell on it and wake up the next morning and keep on reenacting and keep on going through the bitterness and keep on going through the unforgiveness? Because that's what happens. And so I think for me, anger, when we give it a foothold and a long-term foothold, it actually results in a lot of distrust in the Lord because we're really not trusting God with it. Mm. And how are we going to be able to be edified and changed by the Holy Spirit, like convicted by the Holy Spirit, if we can't let it go? You know, by letting it go, it's also saying, all right, God, I'm letting you convict me. I'm going to let you change me. Yeah,
because otherwise you just keep thinking you're right in the situation.
That's right. Yeah. I'm saying all this wholeheartedly knowing I fall into this trap all the time. Oh, yeah. It's not.
And not also knowing that the reason you, like, we get angry isn't always, it's not always wrong. Oh, yeah. It's like people do things that hurt us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, completely. Mm. Yeah. And that's where I was saying anger is a really interesting one in the seven deadly sins, because in and of itself, anger is not a sin. Like,
it's what it can lead you to do.
And this is where it's a really tricky topic and it is worth exploring in your own time and really studying.
Mm.
And similar to my first point, being like, anger just makes us quick tempered and out of control, where I was talking about like being like foolish.
Mm.
Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. And Proverbs 22:24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. And so you can see how that relates back to like Ephesians 4:26 and Psalm 37 and trusting in the Lord. Like, so when we can trust in the Lord, trust that his Spirit's going to like transform our hearts, and that we can actually let that anger go and trust him for justice and trust him.
I don't know if you're going to go there, but that Romans passage, is it Romans 12? I don't know. We talked about it in one of the unforgiveness or forgiveness and unforgiveness episodes. But it's, and we talked exactly about this idea where it's letting it go because God is the one who will bring vengeance.
Yes. Yes.
Do not repay evil for evil. Yeah. Something, something, something. But it's that that you're talking, it's that idea, yes, that you're talking about.
Yeah. Just, I had it, I thought I had nicely that verse here. Anyway. I don't know. Yeah, anyway. I do know exactly the verse you're talking about, because I swear I had it in my notes here, but I can't find it. Yeah, because it is, it, and that's exactly right. It is God who pays, like, vengeance. And yeah, the reason why is that Potiphar example was a perfect example.
Mm.
God knew what was actually going on, but from the surface level, Potiphar would have dealt with it horribly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and that's why we need to trust God with all of that.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to be a hot-tempered person all the time, which Proverbs is literally warning us as Christians, don't be friends with someone that's hot-tempered. So don't be one of those people yourself. Mm. The one who is patient calms a quarrel. That's someone that can actually control their anger. And I think that's a massive part actually of what I wanted to bring up. We are told that we can't control our anger these days.
Mm.
So when I was talking about going into the worldly advice and saying you just need to get it off your chest, you just need to get it out, what that message is saying is that you can't control your anger. But the Bible actually says you can control your anger. In fact, you must control your anger. So even though it may feel horrible, it's going to eat you up inside and you're not going to enjoy it, actually the biblical command is rein it in.
Yeah.
Bite your tongue. Don't say what you want to say. And also, don't be a fool and give vent to anyone and everyone.
Mm.
Trust in the Lord.
And take your time. Yeah.
Don't go to sleep on it.
Mm.
Actually, you can take control. You can control your anger, and you have no excuse to be venting and letting it all out and hurting other people in the midst of all that.
And isn't it an interesting thought that God is slow to anger? Because
yes,
we must make him so angry, but he's slow to anger.
If I can get angry at my kid for not putting on their shoe fast enough.
Literally, like, yeah.
Then, yeah, God is very slow to anger.
Yeah.
Because he, yeah.
That's a good thought.
Mm. I like that.
It's a humbling thought.
So our greatest commandment is to love God and our neighbor, right?
Mm.
And anger just stands in the way of all that. Really, doesn't it? So 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If we can't control our anger, if we're letting it take control of us, then you are not going to be giving glory to God. You're not going to be able to love your neighbor, and you're definitely not loving God in those moments.
Yeah.
And anger often results in us dealing poorly with the perpetrator and not the issue at hand. So how many times we then go, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault, it's that person's fault. We project all our anger onto them without going, okay, why am I actually angry? Is it because I'm humiliated?
Mm.
Is it because they hurt me? Is it because they actually highlighted maybe a sin in my life that I didn't want to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Let's deal with the issue that's at hand, not them.
Yeah.
You know? So I just wanted to quickly say I feel like, if you want to figure out how to take control of your anger, I mean, there's heaps of like actual practical things you could look up, like counting and going to a counselor and whatever else. But I don't really want to cover and waste time on that right now, because you can figure that out for yourself just by doing some simple research into psychology and whatever else. They're all practical things. But without Jesus, it ain't going to work, really, is my point.
Mm.
And my biggest point is, number one, when we vent, we need to be venting to God, not to our friends and family. Sure, there might be wisdom in seeking advice on how to deal with something, but remember, most of the time when we vent to other people, it's going to end up being gossip or slander in some way, shape or form. Let's just be real. That's what it's probably going to end up being. So we always need to go to God with it. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's in Proverbs 28:1-3. So just going to God, confessing it, and trusting He will work through it. And also revenge. So what you were just talking about in Romans, God is the one that's going to avenge the saints. And we are all going to stand before God, saved or not. Yeah. We're all going to stand before God and have our time and trust that in that moment He's going to deal with everything, even though we may not see it.
And it will be now. The best way to be dealt with.
Yes, possible. And in light of our own lives, we're not going to be thinking of these little moments. Really, are we?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be like, stand before God, ultimately be like, well, this girl in high school, what about her? What are you doing to her?
Yeah.
It's not. Like, let's just be real. That's not. Because actually, when we can take a step back and think about it, and like, all that stuff in the scope of things, God's got it. And in the end, it's actually going to mean nothing in eternity. And so, you know, my two biggest takeouts, I guess, out of studying anger and being convicted once again was that I shouldn't be excusing any venting even to my husband, let alone friends and family. And also I need to be trusting God more that He's got it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah. And that sucks. May not.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right. And it sucks. Don't get me wrong. Like there's every element, there's times where I'm like, no, I think I know the right way. But actually I don't. I just need to be okay with the fact that He knows the right way to deal with it. And
forgiveness
I don't.
Always costs someone.
Yes. Well, it cost Jesus His life. So exactly. Like it's got to cost us something, right? I love that. That's a good point you bring up. So revenge is ugly. Leave it to God. Move forward, because it's just in the end, it's just not worth your time. It really isn't. And it's just going to tear away from the fruits of the Spirit. And that's ultimately what anger does. Like if you list joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, love, hope, all this sort of stuff, anger just rides in the face of all that, really, doesn't it? For us, human anger.
Totally.
So ultimately, we just need to not give it the time and the energy. That doesn't mean you don't deal with things. Doesn't mean you don't deal with pain.
Yeah, it means you do.
It means you – yeah, that's right. You do deal with it rather than pushing it away, and you actually try and take control and be mature about it. So I'm sorry if you're like, why aren't they giving us real practical steps? Well
– go back to unforgiveness and conflict maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Because that is more practical.
Or forgiveness, I should say, not unforgiveness.
But yeah, so the biggest take homes for me is that I'm like, I really don't believe we can have true righteous anger. That's up to God. There is righteous anger that feels justice in this world, sure. But in the end, we are all humans. We all fall short.
Part of it is going to be some sort of...
some way
we're going to fall short. And lots of social justice has led to amazing things.
Yeah.
But I get a lot of bad things as
well. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, that's my thought on anger.
Cool. Thanks for that. That's really helpful being reminded that part of who God is the fact that He is slow to anger. And that is what, to be wise, we need to follow His lead on that. And I don't know. I'm not a particularly, well, I don't feel like I'm an angry person, but I'm definitely quick to be angry, like with my kids or, you know, things like that where I go, okay, yeah, that's, like I follow a God who is slow to anger, and that means being slow to anger with a 4 and a 2-year-old and a 0-year-old who are 4 to a 0. Like,
Like if you want it practical on that, like this is something that I'd written down but I hadn't said yet. I'm like, God has given us a brain, like so know our triggers, you know.
Yes.
Like use it. It's so good. if we notice that we're falling into the same – so I've noticed recently actually studying this, I've been really thinking about it. When I am tired, I am just so angry. Like it just comes out in anger. It's ridiculous. And I'm like, I am so frustrated with anyone and everyone. I know. The smallest things trigger me. And so now I'm like, okay, I know my triggers. So I know on those days, I'm like, that means it's going to be a slow cooker day, for example. It means I'm not going to – I know from 4 to 6 is nightmare time in our household. So when I'm really tired, it means I need to have dinner sorted in the morning, cooking all day. So I don't need to do anything in between that time so I can enjoy time with my kids. And it means I have the books pulled out ready to read to kill time. Yeah. Like, you know, just knowing what your triggers are is – I know that's a mum example, but whatever stage of life you're in, that is applicable. Know your triggers. Wise up. You've been given a brain. God wants you to use it.
Yeah.
Know it. So
that's helpful. That's a good practical tip.
That's my practical. Mm. There's one practical for Excellent. You to do. I don't know, count otherwise.
Yeah. No, that's good. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. Lots to think about there. And might be a good idea to once we stop to just sit and pray through different things that's going on in your life and take it to Jesus. Get some help.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, if you don't already, please subscribe. You'll always see us pop up if we've got a new episode up. If you're subscribed, follow us along on Instagram, Facebook to see when things are happening. And other than that, have a fabulous week.
Yes, have fun.
Bye-bye. Bye.